السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين، آمين. Inshallah ta'ala, in today's session, it's going to be a very strange program. I'm giving you the warning ahead of time. The way that I'm going to be conducting this program, I'll give you some introductory comments now so that everybody here is mentally prepared for what is coming. And then from there, inshallah ta'ala, hopefully I'll gauge, you know, however the evening's progressing. But one thing I will tell you for sure, I'm not going to rush. So if I don't get to finish everything I intended to finish, I'm okay with that, but I won't rush through any of the material, okay? Now, the first thing I want to tell you is, inshallah, the intention of this evening is to discuss some of the aspects and some of the beauty of Surah Al-Fatiha. And I certainly would not say that tonight is a tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, because that's too big of a project. As a matter of fact, like according to some ulama, the rest of the Qur'an is a tafsir of the Fatiha. So you can't really, and you'll notice if you're a student of tafsir and you study the books of scholars on the Qur'an, the longest tafsir of any surah is usually Fatiha. They take their time explaining virtually every ayah of the Fatiha, and they see how it's connected to the rest of the Qur'an and so many heavy concepts in our deen. So we're certainly not going to be able to accomplish any of that tonight. But what I did want to do is highlight some of the aspects of the Fatiha that are very hard to appreciate in English. You know, there are things that are easy to talk about when you translate the surah and everybody understands them. And then there are things that are discussed among, you know, the books of language and the books of grammar and the books of, you know, balagha and things like that, among the technical sciences of the Arabic language and of the explanation of the Quran. But for most people who don't know that technical stuff, it doesn't make any sense. It's really hard to understand. So my job tonight is to take some of those things and try to make them easy to understand. That's my job. My job is not to give you the technical information or to expect from you that you know a lot of things about the Arabic language. If you don't know anything about the Arabic language, it's okay. It's okay. That's my task. Now, the way I'm going to be doing this is going to be broken up into several parts. I can't even count anymore. But our first halaqa, our first session, is going to be just Alhamdulillah. That's all we're going to talk about. And when we're done talking, maybe it takes me 10 minutes, maybe it takes me 30 minutes, I don't know yet. But when I'm done, I'm going to give you a break. For 1 minute, you can make new friends and new enemies. Just do that for 1 minute. Then we'll talk about Rabbil Alameen. Then what will I do? I'll give you a break. Make some more enemies. Then come back, then Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You see what I'm saying? So I want to take each piece and give it its own session. Right? If it's long or short, that doesn't matter. So I'm not giving you an official schedule of how this is going to go. And this way, we'll try to cover as much of the Fatiha as we can. And some of these things that are overlooked, again, in translation, things that we don't normally get to appreciate, those are the things we're going to try to highlight, inshallah ta'ala. Now, the first comments about the Fatiha itself, and this will be the Alhamdulillah session, but before we do that, there is a discussion among scholars about whether the Fatiha begins with the words Alhamdulillah or it begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is a debate about that. So some scholars are of the view that the first ayah of the Fatiha is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Other scholars say no, the first ayah of the Fatiha is what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And both are legitimate views. There are lots of evidences on either side. I personally, just as a matter of being honest, I find it more convincing that the surah begins with Alhamdulillah. I find that more convincing, especially because of a famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us what Allah says about the Fatiha. قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. I divided the prayer between me and my slave into two halves. Allah says, and this is a hadith Qudsi, right? And when the hadith begins, فَنِصْفُهَا لِي وَنِصْفُهَا لِعَبْدِي, half of it is for me, half of it is for my slave. And then as the hadith goes on, it begins with Alhamdulillah. It doesn't begin with Bismillah, it begins with Alhamdulillah. So it seems to be an indication that Fatiha is, the official beginning is Alhamdulillah. But that's just my personal, what I personally find more convincing. You're entitled to your own position. So for that reason, I won't be starting with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'll be starting with what? Alhamdulillah. There's another reason that I don't, or I can't start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because when you discuss Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that takes 3 hours. So that should be a thing by itself. It's just a, it's a project by itself, just discussing and understanding the beauty and the power of the words, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But that's not something I'm going to dedicate this session to. This will be about the Fatiha or the rest of the Fatiha, if you will. Okay. So what's our first halaqa again? You guys tell me and you can speak out loud when I ask you something. What's our first session? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Now, I'll ask you, how do you translate Alhamdulillah? Call it out. Praise to Allah, I've heard that before. What else? Any other suggestions for translation? You can call it out, don't be embarrassed, it's okay. I won't put the camera on you. Unless you want, I mean, if you want, I can do that, I make you famous. I can do that, but call it out. Praise to Allah. What else have you heard? Thanks belongs to Allah. Very good. You know, the first thing I want to share with you is that sometimes in Arabic, there's a word, and in English, you cannot translate it with one word. It's really, really hard, and sometimes it's impossible. Because this one word in Arabic means at least two things in English that are two very different things. As a matter of fact, hamd in Arabic means, if I was to try to make it easy, I would say it means praise and it means thanks. Two things at the same time. Praise and thanks. Now let's try to understand the difference between those two, because they're not the same. When you see a nice car drive by and you say, wow, nice car. What did you just do? You did praise. You don't pat the car and say, thank you, BMW. You don't do that. There's a difference. You praised it because it's beautiful or it's got great performance, or you saw a sports game and you saw the athlete perform really well and you praise the athlete. You don't thank the athlete, you only praise them. There's a difference. Now, on the other hand, there's thanks. Like when someone does you a favor, you will do what? Thanks. It's a different context. And sometimes we praise without thanking. And sometimes we thank without praising. I'll give you an example of praise without thanking. You can praise a beautiful mountain, but you don't thank the mountain, you thank Allah. You can praise the ocean and how beautiful it looks, but you're not going to thank the ocean. You understand? But on the other hand, what about if you thank someone, but you still don't what? You still don't praise them. Is that possible? Yeah, it actually is possible. And it happens. And I'll give you some examples from the Quran of when that happens. You have the case of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, whose house was he raised in? And it's kind of embarrassing to call it a house. It was kind of bigger than a house, but Fir'aun's. And Fir'aun raised him, fed him, educated him, protected him his entire life. Yes? And when he came back to Fir'aun, Fir'aun said, "Alam nurabbika fina walida?" Didn't we raise you as a newborn? And he reminded him of all the things he did for him. How can you talk to me like this? I did all of these things for you. So now Musa alayhi salam acknowledges, "Watilka ni'matun tamunnuha alayya." That is in fact a favor you did for me. You did do me a big favor. When you tell someone you've done me a big favor, what have you just done? You've thanked them. But you will never find Musa alayhi salam doing what? That's impossible. So he's thanking him, but not praising him. So praise and thanks are two different things, yes? I'll give you one more quick example. Allah says in the Quran that you have to be grateful to Him, but He also says, "Anishkur li wali walidayk." Right? Be grateful to me and to be grateful to both of your parents. Now let's talk a little bit about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam has a father, and some argue uncle, but let's go with the father argument for a moment. Azar, who makes idols and is really upset with Ibrahim alayhi salam because he refuses to worship idols. Now he's his father, and we know that you have to be grateful to your parents, yes or no? Yeah, he's going to be grateful to his dad, but he certainly won't what? He can't praise what he does. He can't praise him. So the first point I want you to understand is that hamd means praise and thanks, and they go together in this one word. But we know that praise by itself is something else, and thanks by itself is something else. Now, if the Quran said al-madhu lillah, praise belongs to Allah, that would have been an okay translation, because madh actually means praise. If it said "Athana'u lillah," another word in Arabic for more elaborate praise, it belongs to Allah. Fine, you could have translated it "Praise belongs to Allah" or "Praise is for Allah." If it said "Ashukru lillah," or like I think you guys call it "Shukur," right? Shukur, shukur. So "Ashukru lillah," then you could have said "Thanks belongs to Allah." Thanks to Allah. But it doesn't say "Al-Madhu lillah." It doesn't say "Athana'u lillah." It doesn't say "Ashukru lillah." It says what? "Alhamdulillah." So Allah is combining two things together. Now, that's a really important concept before we move on. Why combine these two things together? Because if we only said praise belongs to Allah, then it might mean you're praising Him, but at the same time you are not necessarily thanking Him. And it could be that if you said ashukru lillah only, then you're thanking Him, but you're not necessarily praising Him. But our attitude towards Allah is more comprehensive than that. So Allah chose the best possible word, which is Alhamdulillah, to let us know that whatever Allah does, we have to have two attitudes at the same time. There are two things that have to go on in my head when I say Alhamdulillah. Whatever I said Alhamdulillah to, hey, how was your flight? Alhamdulillah. Two things. What are those two things? I'm praising Allah for the flight, and I'm thanking Allah for the flight. Now, what do? Alhamdulillah, my back hurts. Right? I mean, alhamdulillah, but the flight attendant was really mean. So we say alhamdulillah, then we undo it. Or so you see somebody in a bad mood. Hey, what's going on? You okay? Yeah, alhamdulillah. The meaning of it is that you have to find reason to praise Allah. You have to mentally prepare yourself to have reason, genuine reason, to praise Allah. And then thank Him on top of that. Be grateful on top of that. So now, the idea, there's a few things I want to get across before I move on. We're not nearly done with Alhamdulillah yet, but a few basic things that I want to get across. First of them is, you know when you praise something, you can't praise something and complain at the same time. You can't do it. It's really hard. Some people are very good at it though. Like they say, MashaAllah, brother, great speech, but I disagree with you completely. And you're going to go to hell, etc. Like, you start with praise. I get a lot of those emails. You see people email like that? MashaAllah, how are you doing? I really appreciate everything you do, but actually I don't like you at all. And you're like, it's just one more sentence and it just undoes everything in the first sentence. You know? But genuinely, when you praise someone, and that's the next element here. When you praise someone, you have a positive attitude. You're not complaining. You're not looking at the negative, you're looking at the positive. If you're looking at the positive, then it's easy for you to do hamd. If you're looking at the negative, then it's actually practically impossible for you to do hamd. You know the point I was trying to get across? It was just this, that our religion begins with a positive attitude. Optimism is part of our faith. Pessimistic people that are always negative, that are always looking at what's wrong with our community, what's wrong with our masjid, what's wrong with our government, what's wrong with my friends, what's wrong with our family, what's wrong with my in-laws, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with my health, what's wrong with my job. They don't understand what they're saying when they stand in front of Allah and say what? Alhamdulillah. It's a change of thought. It's a complete change in attitude. That's the first thing I want to get across about this fundamental difference. There's another thing. Some ulama argue, some scholars argue that the word hamd actually necessarily means genuine, sincere praise and thanks. Now that's important because if a police officer stops me and I know I was speeding, and as soon as he comes over, I say, nice uniform. I'm praising him, but I'm not praising him because he's got a nice uniform. I'm praising him because I'd like to save some money. You understand? So you praised, but you didn't praise for genuine reasons. You understand? Or for example, the husband told the wife, I'll be home by 8 o'clock. Then he showed up at 11:30. And as soon as he walked in, she was standing there and she looks like there's smoke coming out of her head. And he says, you look really beautiful today. Now he praised her. But it's hard to believe that one. Mm-hmm. You understand? But hamd necessitates that the praise is what? Genuine. And the gratitude is genuine. It's genuine. We talked a lot about praise, but I didn't talk enough about gratitude. I'll just say one thing about gratitude before moving on. And that is that gratitude, thanks, is actually a reaction. Thanks is a reaction. In other words, if I help you fix your car, by the time we're done, you're going to say, thank you. If you needed help translating something and I translated it for you, you're going to say, thank you. Something has to be done for me, and then I react by saying, thank you. So you could say that thank you or thanks is a reaction, yes? It's a reaction. But it's only a reaction if you accept that somebody did you a favor. Isn't that the case? Somebody has to do you a favor before you say thank you. And maybe somebody's doing something for you and you have no idea they're doing it for you. They have no clue. You have no idea. You're never going to thank them because you never accepted it. You never acknowledged it or you never even knew. You never even knew. Now when Allah says hamd, He actually did not use the word shukr. And by not using the word shukr, actually the gratitude to Allah is deserving of Him, whether you're aware of what He's doing for you or you're not aware of what He's doing for you. That's actually a difference between shukr and hamd in a sense. It's not only praise, but it's gratitude that is not limited to a reaction. You don't have to why should I do hamd of Allah? People say, why should I thank Allah? I get those questions sometimes. Why should I thank Allah? I'm like, even if I didn't tell you any reason, you should still be thanking Allah. Because He didn't ask for shukr. He asked for what first? Or He declared what first, actually? The hamd belonging to Allah. That's the first thing. Shukr will come later. That's another conversation. Okay, so now, let's move a little bit further. Is that much clear, by the way, the praise and thanks thing? That much is clear? Okay, so let's move forward, inshallah ta'ala. Some exciting things I need to share with you.
We hope you benefited from this video from the Surah Al-Fatiha course. The explanation of the entire surah can be found inside Bayana TV. Bayana TV is our video on-demand platform with over 2,000 hours of content about Quran, Arabic, Islamic history, and the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are very excited to announce that this week you can join Bayana TV for a free 2-week trial. We would love to share with you our guided and practical journey through the entire Quran on Bayana TV. Let's take a look. The Quran journey on Bayana TV consists of 5 steps and it begins with Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is not only the opening surah of the Quran and its overview, but it is also Allah's introduction to Himself in His own words. That's why this is the first step of the Quran journey on Bayana TV. The second step of the Quran journey is divine speech, which is all about giving you an appreciation of how and why the Quran is miraculous before diving into the Quran surah by surah. The third step of the Quran journey on Bayana TV is called the Quran, a thematic overview. This step is meant to give you an understanding of the main subject pillars of the Quran. Through this, you will be able to recognize exactly which main subject pillar every ayah of the Quran falls under. By the fourth step of the Quran journey, you are ready for a guided surah-by-surah journey through the Quran. This step is called the Quran, a concise commentary. In this step, you'll have access to over 200 hours of video commentary that will give you a renewed appreciation and love for the Quran. And lastly, the final step of our Quran journey is the Quran, a deeper look. This step is a lifelong journey of reflection and guidance. We take our time exploring and reflecting on every passage of the Quran, going into depths that you may not have even known existed. This step has over 150 hours of video content and it's continuously expanding. We're also very excited to announce our free Bayana TV mobile app available on both iOS and Android phones. This lets you take your Quran journey with you on the go. Join Bayana TV this week to take advantage of our 2-week free trial offer. There's no risk and you can cancel anytime. To sign up for the free 2-week trial now, go to www.bayana.tv.